some wind noise in the back. Is that on my
It's end, probably or? Me. It's me. Oh, we had to stop and get gas, of course. So.
Oh, are you?
I could get in the car here in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Matt, you want to wait for just a second?
No, is it better now, Mike?
Yeah, it's better now.
Yeah, I was outside, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. Give me, I know this is a big question, and I don't need a fully detailed answer, but just give me an idea of where you think you are with your team right now. I know it's you got Barb. Your new person, what's her name?
Tracy.
Tracy.
Or Barb? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and go ahead.
No, you. Well, I mean, we've got Barb is on board. We're still training her and working through that process. And then Tracy, the new Tracy, who's would be Lori's replacement, is in queue, but is not in the office yet. We're just going through formalities, I think, Matt, of getting her onboarded. And she wants to come. She's excited to come. She used to work here 3 years ago. She did not work directly with us. She worked with another FA in the office. But she did work with us kind of on a roundabout way. So she hopefully will be a nice fit. She's very detail-oriented, very, nice personality, very pleasant, very good on her follow-through, knows our systems, kind of knows our people. And so we're excited about all of that.
Yeah.
Good. Good. I'm gonna ask some questions here that probably would take longer to fully answer than we have today. But when you look back on where you've been, and I'm asking this of both of you, and what you've gone through and where you are, is there a big takeaway for you, Mike, in all of this? What can you learn from the past that you can apply to the future?
You mean with regard to just the changing of things and Lori leaving and
just,
all of that?
Whatever you've learned, you've gone through a lot of turmoil.
Yep.
What have you learned from that that you can that will help you not have to go through that turmoil again? Now, I'm not saying it was it was all your fault. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, what have you learned in all this?
Yeah. Well, I think at least for me, Rob. Without getting too much in the weeds, I suppose. But I think I was just in a bad spot, and I got into a negative loop personally, just pushing the envelope too hard, and trying to do too much and make too many people happy. And so you kind of get into that, both clients and employees and, staff and whatever. You're just trying to make everybody happy, and I can't make everybody happy. And then also trying to just do too much. And so my calendar was full. And so all of that, whatever negative loop I was in, I was imposing on the team, and the team was owning that, trying to fix it. And so, I think in Lori's process to fix me, I broke her. And I think that's all that happened. So I do own that. I've kind of recognized that I just got into a negative loop and thought it couldn't be fixed. On the flip side, we made lots of good changes. I think I've cut back a lot of my outside activities, substantially, which I've noticed already has created more kind of just. I wish I could say it was taking lots of time, but I don't know that it was. I think in many cases it was just more clutter on the calendar, and more like guilt that I wasn't doing something, but trying to do it when I wasn't really into it. So I think that's cleaned up some things, and then also, I think the team is just moving forward on trying to get more efficient and more streamlined. And I signed up a few more clients on the monthly calls. I'm going to get more of those signed up now. I'd kind of gotten stalled on that. So I've been working on cleaning up the portfolio, and I've kind of resolved that if I can't fix it, I'm not going to complain about it. I'll just, if I can't fix it, then I'll just see if Lori or well, not Lori, but Barb or Matt or somebody else on the team can fix it and just move forward. So I don't know. I would guess that would be it. It's just that I got into a negative loop and it was impacting the team. So.
When you look back, you can, well, I'll speak for me, Mike. I could feel myself getting into what you're describing as a negative loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized it a long time before it exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the right word or not. So when you look back, when you started getting into that negative loop, is there anything, you know, now you have the ability to have hindsight. When you started feeling yourself go into that negative loop, is there anything you could have done that would have gotten you out of that?
I just made those hard decisions quicker, faster. Sometimes not making a decision on things is making a decision to keep doing what you're doing, and I just had one not making decisions. So.
Yeah. Well, so, you said you were trying to please too many people. It might have been Abe Lincoln who said, if you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might fit what we're talking about here.
Sure.
Matt, how would you answer that question? What have you learned from this process that you could apply to the team in the future?
Maybe a couple of things. One would be maybe to speak up more than just, you know, own the fact that if I'm struggling with something or if I'm, you know, I owe that to the team, to share my feelings and share, owe it to Mike and, you know, in the process. And not feel like I always have to have a solution, I guess. Sometimes I feel like if I come to Mike or I come to, you know, the team with a problem, I like to have an idea of what that solution is. But sometimes I don't have to have that right out the gate. So it's just trusting in the team process and trusting that together we'll figure it out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, Rob Knapp taught me something that really was freeing for me. I don't know if it fits to what you just said. He said a strong man will admit weakness because he's confident that he knows what he's doing. So a strong man admits weakness. A weak man sometimes won't admit weakness because he's afraid he'll be judged on that one single issue. Do you get what he's preaching? So it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of strength to show weakness. Do you get
that's
that?
Good point. Yep, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Because what you're saying to yourself, and this is a tremendous amount of pressure, if you don't admit weakness, you're saying you've got your arms around it and you're pretty much perfect. You don't need any help. And I know that's not the way you feel. So
yeah.
here's
well, I never
here's
wanted
what
to, and I just to tag on to that, kind of to Mike's point there too, you know, when he's kind of was in that negative loop, I didn't want to add to the stress. And so I didn't want to, you know, if I didn't feel like I had a solution, then why would I come to him with it? So, you know, part of that was me just recognizing that, I guess. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
if you were, I worked with a lot of people. I managed a lot of people over the years. I had some people in 12-step programs, and one of the thing that the power of a 12-step program, there are 12-step programs for a lot of things, is just being able to get it out and talk about it. There's something cleansing about you. You might not have a solution, but at least you get it out and you talk about it, and it's not sitting inside there bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's what I learned, and it sounds like the same thing that you all are saying, is communication is the lubrication of any relationship, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a friendship, whether it's in a business situation. Communication usually makes things better. Mike, when you the last time you and I talked, you I felt it. You were in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
You were not the same guy I sat down and had coffee with in Nashville. So, you know, you guys, as good as you are, you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You all are going to have weaknesses. You're going to have potential for conflict. As good as Tracy and Barbara might become, there's still going to be times that it doesn't feel good. I worked for a lady at Merrill Lynch. Her name was Mary Kinnemer, and she was next to. Well, she wasn't as good as Rob Knapp, but nobody else was. But she was really, really good. And she used to have a saying when all of the managers would get that worked for her got around the table. She says, "Let's throw the skunk on the table and talk about it." Mm-hmm. And it's a phrase my wife and I use to this day. If there's some turmoil, let's throw that old skunk on the table and talk about it. It's the same thing as you put this, as you form this team and as you get the roles. It's important that you have your meetings. It's important that people feel comfortable in speaking. Merrill Lynch blew up because we had a chairman of the board, Stan O'Neill, who, if you disagreed with him, you got shot. Not literally, but must have felt like it. So nobody would come to him. He was told about the mortgage problem 18 months to 2 years before it happened. And what did he do to the guy who brought the message? He fired him. So it's important that you all meet on a weekly basis. It's a sacred time, and that everybody feels comfortable. And, you know, the two of you and Barb and Tracy feel comfortable bringing things up and know they'll be heard. People don't always want people to agree with them, but people just have a thirst to be heard,
mm-hmm.
again, and that transcends the relationship. So the thing that you've taken away and the thing that I took away is that communication is key in any relationship. All right. Have you thought about the roles for each member of the team? And they don't have to be the same as with your previous structure. When you look at, you know, one of Lori's strengths is her attention to detail, and you tell me that Tracy has a lot of those has that characteristic also, am I right?
That's my understanding,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I would say to you two is I would not think about, okay, Barbara's going to fill Verna's role,
mm-hmm.
and Tracy's going to fill Lori's.
Yeah.
I would make sure that you remember that book, and we've talked about it before, I can't remember the title. We have a great team is you get the wrong people off the bus, you get the right people on the bus, and then you get them in the right seats.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some crossover to a degree, but it doesn't have to be, okay, you're doing Lori's work, you're doing Verna's work. Does that make sense to you?
Right. We've kind of talked about that
yes.
already. I think Matt and I were saying, you know, he always builds every structure around kind of the talents of the people that you have. Lori did certain things really well, and the same thing with Verna. The nice thing that we're finding already is that, okay, Verna did things one way, but Barb wants to do them a different way, and that in itself probably will create more efficiencies for us. So we've talked about that we need to figure out, I guess we hadn't talked, Matt, I don't think, about how we would do that, but just trying to maybe have a team meeting about, okay, here's what needs to get done. Here's what Lori was doing. Here's what Verna was doing.
Yep.
Is there a different way to divvy this up to get more efficiency out of what we're doing as a group? And same thing with Callie. That's something that we I don't know that we're going to try and pigeonhole everything that Lori did onto Tracy.
No.
Okay.
I think when we went initially through this, Rob, we, you know, I had all three, Lori and Verna and Callie, just basically do an inventory of everything they do for the
yep.
most part. And then our thought was once we got the right people on the bus again is to mm-hmm. divvy up, you know, the task. And the lines may fall differently than they did in the past. But that's the exciting part, I think. So So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's exciting too. Usually when you come through difficulties, you come out stronger. And that's certainly what you all have done. Now let me ask you to weave something else into this defining the roles. And that's looking at what you guys do, the two of you. And let me just give you an example of Mike, I think I know the answer to this, but,
okay.
But what do you really enjoy, as it has to do with our business, what do you really enjoy doing?
I've been asked that question before, and I always kind of come back to just meeting with clients and problem solving. And certainly I get excited about doing new business, you know, bringing in new business, new proposals. And I think it's always been the thrill of the hunt, more so than anything. But, I think meeting with clients and solving problems and helping meet their needs and giving them guidance is certainly part of it. But also bringing in new business has always been sort of the what gets me going sometimes. Like we just haven't been doing as much of it.
When you say solving problems, you're not talking about sending out checks or you're talking about solving client issues.
Yeah, finance. Okay. Yeah, retirement planning and how do I pay for this? How do we fund that? And those kinds of things.
Okay, what are you really good at? Because are you really good at those three things: meeting with clients, new business, and the thrill of the hunt?
I don't know. Good question.
Well, usually people are good at what they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So if you had a day and all you did was meet with clients and look for new business, and that's all you had to do, I know that's not realistic,
mm-hmm.
but that would be a pretty good day for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you go back to when we started in the business. I mean, that's all you did. You were just prospecting all day long. And that's all you did because you really had nothing else to do. And then all of a sudden, now you have a book of business. Like you're trying to manage the book of business, but yet still look for new business because you're always trying to prime the pump. And I don't. If I had to pick and choose, I actually don't know, Rob. I don't know what I would do. I don't know. It's a good question.
What do you hate? What do you hate? What do you get sucked into you don't enjoy?
Well, almost anything that's non-revenue producing. Almost anything that's non-revenue producing. So, and
okay.
I
office odor issues.
Huh?
The office odor issue.
Yeah, office odor issue. That's right. Exactly. We got a problem in the office we're dealing with. So that would be just about anything that I know is not producing revenue or won't, and, or is not related to. So any of that kind of stuff, sometimes I get sucked into but yet it has to be done, but yet that's the stuff I probably don't enjoy as much.
Do you get sucked into it too often?
No, I not anymore because I'm choosing to do it, so I'm not complaining about it. But there are some things that I know I don't need to be doing, so we just have to figure out a way. I think we're working on that with Barb. We're working on ways to streamline some things and just make them easier and kind of get some of those things that I don't need to be doing off of the agenda list.
I think that's where some of your frustration comes, Mike. You
mm-hmm.
enjoy those three things you told me,
mm-hmm.
and you know you're good at them. I'd be shocked if you're not good at them,
mm-hmm.
and you know that intuitively. So when you get pulled away from what you know, what you enjoy, and what you know you're good at, and you know is non-revenue producing, what happens? You start to get frustrated.
That's it.
So Matt, same thing. What do you really enjoy doing?
I'm probably almost going to mirror Mike's answers. At the end of the day, I love the relationships. So
yeah,
if there's nothing, and I love the hunt, you know, I'm I like getting new business, but really if I could spend all my time talking with clients, that's all I want to do. So I just, nothing makes me feel better at the end of the day when I go home after having a really great meeting, you know, and you get a hug from a client and you know, you get updates and they want to know, not only do you know, you want to know, they want to tell you about their lives or their grandkids or what's going on, but then, you know, they're generally interested in how your kids are doing. And so just the relationship is what's the most important thing to me.
What do you hate?
The minutia, right? I mean, just the small petty details and things like that, really. On to the first part, you know, just the solving problems. And so, I mean, even stuff like this and dealing with replacing Tracy replacing Lori, I like that kind of stuff. So it doesn't even, I just like solving problems. And so, the minutia side, you know, just even like the debriefing sometimes, right? And I know the work, you know, you got to get the work done after the meeting and stuff, but, you know, taking the notes and divvying out the workload and that kind of stuff that Mike probably put it best as non-revenue generating, but still has to get done. You know, that wears on me too, I guess.
Okay.
And I hate the life insurance and the annuity work. I'm kidding, Mike.
We just did a $700,000 ticket, so you can't hate it.
Yeah, did a big ticket. Yeah, that's right. I like that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't mind it.
I know.
Well, here's my point. Barbara Tracy's been in this business before. Barbara has been with you, what, 2 months now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you all like to do is the hardest part of the job. I used to have this running disagreement, not a disagreement, but, you know, it was a disagreement with the guy who was my number two guy, and we pretended it's you got a 10-point scale, and you got to divide those 10 points between the person who can go out and find the business and the person who could process the business. Now, making a point here. I think if you had to give out 10 points, I'd give 7.5 points to the person who can get the business and 2.5 points to the person who processes it. I mean, you have to have it processed, but for every person like you all, I can find 20 people who can do the minutia and the things that you all don't enjoy doing. So the good news is you all really like the most important part of the job. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if that's the most important part of the job, who just came on the call?
Hey, are you there, Rob?
Yeah.
Hello? Are you there, Rob?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah, I had to hang up and go back in through my cell phone because I have to walk out of the office. I'm in transition to another.
Okay. So here's you all have to do what you're good at. Doesn't mean you get to do it all the time, but you have to get Callie and Tracy and Barbara to get really good at the things you don't enjoy. You have to let them come up with the systems. You have to give them some latitude so they can solve problems and they never get to you. So I would ask these same questions of Tracy, Barbara, and Callie. What, as it has to do with our business, what do you really enjoy and what do you not enjoy? Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be, this is unrealistic, but wouldn't it be great if what Tracy hates, Barbara loves, and vice versa? Then that's a home run. Again, you all have to continue to do what you're good at. The more time you spend doing the things you don't, the more frustrated you're going to get, and it's not going to be good for anybody. So, as you go forward here, good communication and ask and spend as much time as you can making sure that you've got the you feel like you've got the right people. make sure that you get them in the right seat. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, Matt, that makes sense. We should talk to both of them. If we go through those things that everybody's, all the things that need to get done, just to get the input from them about what they like doing, what they don't like doing.
Going through that exercise, Mike, is not revenue producing.
Right.
But in the end, it will give you more time to do the things. I think you're just going to have to give yourself the latitude that over this next month or so, we're going to spend more time than we want to get people in the right seats, but that'll pay dividends down the road.
Right, right. I feel good about that. I mean, I think there's this is a great, man, I've talked, it's a great time to retool and get some fresh energy into the group. I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm Lori, I think, was at one time my biggest fan and then all of a sudden turned into my biggest foe. And I think became a cancer on the team a little bit. And I think it's time for her to go, even though I think she's she's a great talent, but I think she got into her own negative loop. And I think she was dealing with a lot of stress at home, and her husband's dealing with a lot of basically the same issues. She's got a very successful husband at home, and she's dealing with a very successful business, and probably getting the same story at home as she was getting from me at work. I was the easiest one to dump on call him out. And so we did a lot of good, and we had a lot of good fun, and we made lots of good changes, but this is a good chance to kind of retool it get everybody kind of recharged and headed in a new direction. And we're already seeing that with Barb.
And the communication. Yeah. Here was my experience, and I've gone a little over here today. My experience was, and I think both of you would agree, it's happened to you, problems don't solve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They only get worse if they're not addressed. So it's a lot easier to have a conversation today about an issue than it's going to be 6 weeks from now, because it'll just continue to fester. So
right.
I hear energy in both of your voices. I like it. Spend some time getting people in the right roles here. And I think you're going to see a lot more peaceful business. You're going to see a business that's going to grow really, really quickly.
One thing I need to figure out what to do with, Rob. So Lori unloaded a lot of stuff on me. Admittedly, I asked for it, but I now I have to figure out what to do with it. I think some of it was warranted, and so I own the things that I was doing wrong. But some of it, I think, was uncalled for and hurtful, and I don't know. I have to. I don't have my notes in front of me now, but not sure what I need to do with that, Matt, and how much of it is true and how much of it's not true. But there's a list of things, probably a dozen, that she basically said, I'm not approachable. People are afraid to talk to me. I need manager training. I undermine people. I publicly flog people, and on and on. And so I need to kind of get to the bottom of some of that somehow. And part of, I've always expected to, as a partner, you, to have my back as well. And I'm not sure what happened in the Lori process. If there's more to this if it's just Lori, or if it's more going on than I'm aware of, or if it was just Lori lashing out for a variety of reasons because she was feeling, I think we loaded her up with the Series 7. She was frustrated at home. She's got two kids, I was creating pressure for her at work, and I think I just got dumped on and became, but some of it I own, and I get that. But some of it, I think, was uncalled for.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do with it now.
Well, maybe we should just sit down and go through the list then.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
is that what you're, let, what let, you're thinking, or?
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, nobody, I don't know if nobody's perfect. So we all have our issues that people give us some grace on.
Yeah.
But then there's some things that, okay, is this really an issue I need to get fixed? You know, I just don't know. Plus, it's also a career, I mean, it's a career issue, because if Lori puts a lot of this stuff into a memo or to a feedback loop, as, to me as a manager, now it becomes a HR issue. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I hear you saying.
Anyway. Why is it an HR issue?
Well, I mean, just HR. I mean, there's not HR in the sense that I did something wrong from like from that standpoint. It's just more of a HR, meaning that now I have a employee complaint on my manager style in my, which I've never had ever, in my file. And so, you know, if all of a sudden employees, because we have to do 360 reviews, so FAs and employees are always reviewing their managers and line managers.
Sure.
So that becomes a reflection of me.
Merrill used to do an employee survey on the managers every year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I got dinged. And I got dinged for the same thing a lot of times.
Okay.
And I never believed it was true. And so here's what was explained to me is you don't have to agree with it.
Yep.
All you have to do, what you do is you operate like it's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you get dinged on communication and you say, yeah, that's just BS, okay, that's your opinion. But pretend it is a problem and make sure that you are cognizant of that when you're dealing with people.
Right. Right.
You could be the greatest manager at UBS, and you're going to still have some people who don't care for your style. It's just
exactly
you to think everybody's going to love you is an unrealistic expectation.
Exactly.
I would imagine one of the things I got dinged on a regular basis is I got away from Merrill Lynch. I started to see, I can see why people would say that. I sometimes, Mike, wasn't a great listener. I knew where we wanted. I knew where we wanted to go, and here's how we're going to get there. And I'll listen, but you know, it's really not going to make any difference. That's and I got that two or three times in a row, and I can see it now. So,
yeah.
what I would tell you is pretend they're correct.
Okay.
Going to 12 things you don't do well. Everybody's going to have something on that list, but just make sure that you are addressing. He doesn't communicate very well. Well, let's make sure we have weekly meetings. Let's make sure people understand that we always want to hear what's on your mind, and we'll always take that into consideration. Ultimately,
right.
Somebody has to make a decision. And
right.
In this team, I know who that is. That's you. So, and also, somebody said to me once, FAs spend a whole lot of time worrying about things that never happen. If she critiques your management style negatively, okay, that's her opinion. I just can't do anything about it. All you can affect is going forward.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm not telling you to brush those things off. I'm just telling you, I'll say it again. You don't have to agree with them, but make sure that you go the extra step to make sure that something you might disagree with isn't really accurate.
Accurate. Okay. That's a good idea.
The other thing is everybody needs an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would want from Matt is Matt, I mean, share that. Has Matt seen that list from Lori?
No. Well, he was part of the conversation, but I don't know they saw the list. No.
What I would want from Matt is to make sure, Matt, that you are comfortable telling Mike when you're seeing something that you think is not great for the team. Tell him. because again, if you don't, it's not healthy. Throw the skunk on the table and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, your responsibility is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you don't have to agree, but you do have to listen.
Right.
Okay.
I wouldn't spend a lot of time worrying about somebody. I mean, as a percentage of your income, if you're structured the way Merrill was, a lot more of your income comes from managing money than it does managing the office, correct?
Correct.
You know, if they came in someday and said, you know, we got this person, we'd like for you to focus on production, and we're going to let somebody else run this thing, your feelings might be hurt, but a week later, you'd feel really good about it.
Probably. Yep.
Not probably.
So what do we do now, Rob, in terms of kind of retraining? I think, do we need to retrain the team on kind of how we operate and how we're doing things at some point? Or I guess we're thinking about, since we do have a new group involved, bring them up to speed on kind of what we've been trying to do business-wise and team-wise with Supernova.
I don't know how to answer your question.
Other than to
make sure that you're communicating with the two of you are communicating really well with each other, and really well with the three ladies who work with you, and just make sure that, I mean, Barbara Tracy is going to make some mistakes even though she's been in the business. Just make sure that she understands fully what her job is. I don't know how to. I know you've got a teams group. I don't know if you want to bring those people in or not. We had a team people out of Princeton who came in and did teams work. Some of them were really good, and some of them weren't.
We signed up for a team optimization workshop in September, but I think we're on the waiting list right now, but we thought that'd be a good time to go through all of that.
I think you're going to, if you go into any meeting and have a good attitude when you go in, you're going to get something out of it. And I think that would make sense for you all to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think what would make more sense is to have them come to you and spend a couple of days.
Well, I never thought about that.
You got to get that done before November.
Before November? What happens in November?
Isn't that when the snow comes in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah.
No,
exactly.
That's October, Rob.
Maybe it's snow.
Yeah. I know in Minneapolis they all go underground. I don't know when that starts, but
yeah,
it's always
all right.
You know when the good weather is. That's when you have them out.
Yeah.
Guys, I gotta go. I feel a lot of energy in your voice. This is all gonna work out really, really well.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. I think we're on a new path, and we've kind of cleansed the system a little bit and purged kind of where some things we may did wrong, but now we've got some, I think, new talent, new people, and trying to. And I think Matt and I are both on the same page of what we want to try to accomplish. So. But I'm feeling good about things.
Yeah. Communication.
Yep.
Communication. Who you're talking to.
Communication.
Here we go.
All right. Here we go.
Sounds good.
Take care, Rob.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.